Hello everyone, welcome back. I will give a short presentation on a project just started. So you can see it's a work in progress, actually just started. And I'm from Hofstra-Luzern. It's a university in Switzerland. And bet you have already met the mountains from Lars' presentation this morning. And my presentation is about simulation of reflected sunlight from building facades to the neighborhood. So I have a very brief overview. I have a simple background of the project. I have a subjective of what we want to achieve, and then the methods, or what we propose the method should be. And the last is a discussion. Since it's just a project just started, I hope everybody feel free to shoot and give ideas. So the background of the project. Nowadays, the outdoor glare result from sunlight reflected from building facades is getting worse and more frequent. I think everybody has experienced that when you walk on roads or when you're driving, then suddenly you experience some bright spot from a neighboring building, reflected sunlight, then you got a shock. Or when you were sitting in your office, then there are neighboring buildings reflected sunlight to your work desk. It could be quite annoying, and this is getting worse and more frequent, mainly because of the three reasons. So the first one is there are more high-rise buildings with curtain walls, and especially in the big cities, in the summertime especially, people want to lower the cooling load, so they want to use facade materials with high reflectance. Then the last one is there are more free-form facades, especially concave surfaces. So if you have one of these, the situation could be worse, bad enough. If you combine the three, then your project gets famous as a battery generator. So this is a Vadara Hotel, I think, in Las Vegas, and it's really terrible things happen, and people get burned.
In the new,
I think last year, April 1st, New York Times make a joke about new built free-formed facades in New York burning the nearby building. But actually, this did happen. It's not just a joke. So what people are doing to eliminate this problem current, the government just forbids the buildings facade to use high reflectance materials. As always, the government just wants a simple, practical way to solve the problem. And in the academic world, there's not much work has been done in this field. I just searched online and there's one paper about Walt Disney Concert Hall, which is this one. After being built, because so many people complain about the glare, they need to sand the facade. So I believe that's very costly. So for industry, there's one method. I think it developed in 1980s. It's called glare protractor. It's based on solar chart and plan view. So basically, from the solar chart, you know where the sun is, and based on the plan view, you just have a simple geometry calculation, then you know which area is affected. So of course, this method never works on a non-vertical facade, not mentioning all the curved facade. So the objective of this project is to have a method to predict outdoor glare caused by sun reflection to the neighboring area. So this method should address the following questions, which is how the facade will generate these effects, and how the neighborings are affected. So eventually, we hope this tool can help designers to optimize the form of the envelope as a conceptual stage, and make facade material selections at that stage. And for the methods, we run for time frame simulation first, then for annual simulation. For the time time frame simulation, we want to calculate the accessed facade from each mesh face, how much it will contribute to the irradiance to the nearby testing points. So after this step, then we go to the annual simulation. We assume a always sunny sky, so we'll search for the worst scenario, and hopefully we can run on weather data to have a general performance of the accessed facade. The tool is developed in Rhino and is plugged in Grasshopper. I think it's been introduced yesterday. Grasshopper is a parametric design tool. It's easy for us to manipulate the geometry of the form, the envelope, and it also has built-in functions for optimization. So why we want to develop data again, since Diva is already around, which is a nice tool. From Diva's beautiful interface, well, also limited, we only have this R-trace-i for irradiance. So basically, we don't have gradient values, which is necessary in this case. So this is a rough idea. We have a facade, and we developed it. We divide it into mesh, small surfaces, mesh faces. Then for each mesh face, we shoot random rays. Then from each ray, we get readings, and we calculate how much it contributes to the irradiance at the testing point. And this red line shows the sun vector, and this yellow line shows where which mesh face can reflect the sun to the testing point. And this face will be taken care of since it will normally generate the problem. So this is a flowchart from Rhino, and we use Grasshopper to generate the geometry of the facade we want to access. Then we also generate the origin of the rays and the direction of the rays. So we pass this information to Radiance to use R-trace or RTconTrib, and the results will pipe into a database to collect annual data, and the data will be read and feedback to the models we have in Grasshopper for mesh color, so it's a visual assessment. So actually right now I have tried a few approaches. The first one is to use R-trace. So we find the mesh face which will directly reflect the sun to the testing points, and then we'll send random rays to this mesh face until the radiance reading from this mesh face stabilized. Because of this roughness, these readings can have a very large variance. So this, if we have a small enough mesh face, this should give us a more general assessment of that particular mesh faces. And for the other mesh face, we just shoot random rays for radiance reading. Of course, you can see this method is based on the time frame. So when we want to have annual simulation, this will be very slow. We need to repeat everything for every time frame. So how about RTconTrib plus the scar patches? We send random rays to each mesh face, and we don't care about which mesh face can reflect the direct sunlight because the patch always change. Then we calculate contributions from each scale patch to each random rate. This will eventually will give us for each mesh base how much contributions from each scale patch to the mesh base. So this should be efficient for annual simulation. So this just came to my mind. Could it be a three-phase method? Normally we use a three-phase method for indoor calculation, but in this case, we want if we can change the transmission to a reflection and use BRDF functions for the facade material, then after the first initial calculation, then we can easily change this matrix and have the final results without repeating the other matrix. So this should be computational effective for changing material. So this is my mess right now. This project just started, so this is how the Grasshopper file looks like. It will be improved. So this is a test case, a specular ring. I brought this from the PMAP. I think it can give us a quite accurate irradiance readings. But this one is radiance. So this one is approach one using R trace for one time frame. So this shows us from each mesh phase how much it contributes to the irradiance at the testing point here. These short lines actually show the direction of the sun. So we can see there is a quite obvious line here. Actually, it's from the shadow from this edge. So actually, this part where this line shows which mesh phase can reflect the direct sun to the testing point. So we can see it's more or less correct, and these mesh phases contribute the most to the testing point. If we go to the Arctic Contrib, then I have to admit I just get to new Arctic Contrib, and it's a really difficult tool to start. So I'm sure there's some problems with this, but right now this is the result I have. There are some unexpected results from these mesh phases. They were supposed to result a large radiance value, which doesn't work right now. I think I need to further improve on this. And
what
you can, yeah.
What sky subdivision did you use here?
Actually, I tried very big values. I varied the AD values, but actually the results are very similar.
No, I meant how many patches?
I also tried different one up to MF4, from 2 to 4. So, but the results, the values, the irradiance values results are very similar.
Hmm.
So this is the irradiance at testing points. You can see it's very rough due to the resolution of the testing points. But compared to this, well, this is radiance, but the idea is there. So this is a discussion. For the approach one, using R trace, the value, irradiance value is very close to the PMAP results. But for the approach two right now is, well, I could say a large difference. Actually, I try to vary the divisions and also the subdivisions of the scale patches, but actually the results are quite similar, I could say. So I stuck here. That's the last thing I did before I came here. So some reference, and hope you suggest so where the direction should go, and
yeah,
please.
I think it's But with your center point and like future research, are you just going to measure the horizontal gradient that's concentrated?
No. Right now, it's just a testing case. So I start with horizontal illuminance. But in the future, it should be all the sensitive points. Mm-hmm. For example, the earlier presentation, there's, let's say, this tower in the airport. It might be a critical point. So we can have a vertical irradiance sensor there to give us an idea how much the PV panels can contribute to it.
Yeah, particularly with low sun, say if you had your kind of circular thing in the real world, if it was a horizontal sun, the horizontal center point would probably be okay, but if there was something that was vertical, it would be quite concentrated in it, if that makes sense. The angle of incidence is near 90 degrees,
yeah,
as opposed to the just normal horizontal center point. So if you have a book this way, yeah, in the reflection, the angle of incidence,
yeah,
whereas if it's this way,
yeah,
the reflected ray is going to be much stronger as well.
Yeah,
so that's something.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's going to be done, but right now we just have a test case with which is this specular ring, but it will be tested with a few real case studies. For example, the Badara Hotel, maybe.
Yeah.
So test how much? Yeah, please.
Why do you use this inverse approach? I mean, I think that one idea which is coming to my mind would be that if you generate some sort of maps, which are the dangerous areas, and if you put one proposed facade in the middle, then you should know where the sun is during the whole year, and then you can generate the map. Like a projection, which areas on the ground are affected then by direct reflection. So this would be then quite a good criterion. But now you have to find ideal points that could start your test ways.
Yes, I actually initially we start with that idea, but then we encountered like how to get real readings. I mean. You need to find out this. I think one good thing about this method is you know where the lights are from, so that will help us to select the material or change the material of the facade if we need. Then we also need to know where the problem are from. So, but from that method, actually we are not sure like which particular area of the accessed facade will generate a problem.
I have more remark than a question. I was recently involved in a court trial where I have to calculate also the exact minutes per day where people were disturbed by reflecting glare somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think for such kind of investigations, I think neither Basin nor also the Arctic contrib are really accurate enough, because you always have, in one case, you have a discretization of the sun positions, which is really rough in Basin, and for the other case, you have your patches on the sky, which are much bigger than the sun is in reality, and for corn, it's really, they want to see the minutes, and there are some rules in Germany, if it's more than 30 minutes, then it's bad, and if it's not 29, it's good, and so we must take care of the tools we are using for calculating those things in general,
yes,
because of course you get out of those things also, I don't know, the number of hours where this can occur, but of course you have to keep in mind that you're always having let's say a model which is not taking into account the reality of the real sun position. So in my case, I had to do the Bruce Forth thing, which means I calculate really every 6 minutes the real sun position and so on.
Yeah, actually, Lars insists I should go for the arches, but I think I hope I have a annual overall idea of how the glare is. So that's why I bring the Arctic contrib. And I was stuck in there, so I haven't had a chance to really compare the results. So I am aware of the problem of the the size of the sun and how critical the time is. That's why there are two approaches right now. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a very similar subject that I'm going to talk about tomorrow, where if it's really your focus to F4J or somewhere, if really your intent is to find the intensity of a reflective cluster, then there is a method I found which uses gradients in a reasonably efficient way, which I, it's a bit hard to explain right now, but I can show you afterwards if you like.
I would expect your convergence on R2 contrib to improve if you increase the resolution of your sky at the same time as increasing the number of initial samples. You have to make sure that you have enough samples so that each patch in the sky gets more than one or two.
Yes.
That's the thing, you have to have dozens, you know.
Yeah, right now it's I guess it's not big enough.
I think it's a really exciting study, and I'll be looking forward to the results. One thing that I was wondering was the design applications when you have some results. Because there's also the tendency that of people buildings may cause glare in adjacent buildings, but they may also contribute to the daylight levels of the neighboring buildings. So there could also be positive effects. If you have, for instance, diffuse reflections,
it could be considered in the future plans. Actually, it's just a comparison of the irradiance values received by the neighboring buildings.
I think it could be the subject of an article whose title would read something like "Concave Facades with Mirrored Glazing's Bad Idea." I mean, there's not going to be an optimal solution that has a concave facade with mirrored glazing.
The idea is how to, by a minor change of the facade,
mm-hmm.
to change these focusing points to the non-critical area. So the architect can be satisfied with their design, and at the same time, not so much trouble will be generated.
You just need to change the concave center area, you know, you just need to gradate the material. Okay?
Thank you.